The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by DraftKings. It's here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How you doing?
Well, had a tennis match this morning where the lady we were backing, Varvara Gracheva, I know you're very familiar with her work.
Me and Varvara go way back.
Plus 140 dog. She's up 6-4 in the third set tiebreaker, and she yaks it. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm very happy right now. Oh, very happy.
How'd your big match go yesterday?
Which was the
big
one
you played in?
Oh, with Fez?
Yeah.
Oh, what a talk about match points staved off. It was beautiful. These are the 2 or 3 months in Vegas where the weather is spectacular, so just great to be outside.
I hate the in the fall we get the nice decline though. In the spring, like I was talking with Randy, the great valet guy outside
that we
talk to every day.
Yeah.
When I showed up yesterday morning, it was 58 degrees. When I left, it was 82.
It was beautiful. Beautiful outside. It'll, you know, 2 months from now, we'll be in hell, but right now it's wonderful. Okay, we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff today. Crack will join us, not in studio, but he is on the East Coast. He's at the RBC Heritage. We were promised a shot in front of a lighthouse. We will get that today from Bill Krakenberger, unscripted. We will talk with him for a couple segments. Joe Sheehan on baseball. Bad day for the Guardians yesterday. Oh, boy. Braves come back from behind. Yankees come back dramatically from behind. And the Guardians got Tanner Houck, which we have to get into. Zach Cohen on his tennis and NBA thoughts. And Luke Swain. I saved the best for last. Luke Swain will join us. Many of you are familiar with Luke Swain as Vegas Refund on Twitter. If you go back, and we did, and look at his NFL draft performances and his NBA draft performances, we'll throw those in as well. It's nothing but plus money, and dramatically so, with the exception, just like us, of last year's NFL draft. Has it caused him to ratchet it back this year? I don't know if it has or not. We will get all of his thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft 1 week from tonight. How about that? So looking forward to talking to Luke about that. By the way, before we get to the NBA, did you hear about what the Commodores did? You hear about what the Commodes did? Yesterday was the last day to invite draftees into your spot, and instead of them, you know, just doing it individually, like we want to really spend time with Jaden Daniels, right? They invited four, so not Caleb Williams, not Bo Nix, right, but the other four guys: Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and JJ McCarthy, all at the same time, to see how they would like interact with each other. Now, I'm hoping they already know who they're going to draft, but, like, what did that accomplish? So they were getting crushed by even Jaden Daniels, most notably Jaden Daniels' agent, liked a couple very critical tweets about this, including one from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and then one that was a little more colorful, let's say.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
We just hit day one in the life of Gil Alexander where he brought up a comment or a like of a social media post as newsworthy. Oh, man.
Oh, well, no, but it's from his agent.
No, I know. It is a weird story because, I mean, this was, it was a day or two ago at this point. I've heard mixed reactions from former NFL people, like someone that, I heard someone say that this is not that abnormal.
Not for Adam Peters. He did the same thing in San Francisco.
Okay. And then I've heard from others kind of like, well, you don't do it this late in the process. Like, what's going on? Either you don't know, you have question marks of who you thought you were zeroing in on. And I kind of agree with that.
What would have to happen for you to think you know who you're going to draft, watch the interaction, and be like, oh, gosh, we cannot draft that guy? Like, what would have to happen? We just go crazy on the other three people?
They do the simple, like, film study stuff with them sometimes, right? Like, I mean, if you go 0-for on some of the tests and questions, it might be a little concerning. I don't know. But, like, the point I agree with is why now and not 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
I would agree with all points. Why now? Why ever? would be my other point.
Yeah. So add it to the list of pick numbers that I'm not sure about anymore.
I mean, Jaden Daniels, I hope, didn't like pour his beverage over the other three guys because I just don't want him to eliminate himself. Anyway, that was an interesting thing. We'll talk to Luke Swain, all NFL draft, a little later on. The NBA is, I mean, the only story here is injuries at this point. This is just unbelievable. So two nights ago, Zion, and we probably didn't make enough of this as much as we did talk about it, but really like at the height of that game, he jams it, 95-95 with 3:19 left. The Sixers call a timeout 6 seconds later, but Zion goes straight to the locker room because he pulled his hammy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is out for the elimination game tomorrow night between the Kings and the Pelicans, with the Kings 1.5-point favorites now at New Orleans. New Orleans without the great Zion Williamson, who scored 40 in that game before having to exit I'm already forgetting who they played, for God's sakes. The Pelicans.
Lakers.
The Lakers. Thank you, God. Good God. It's hard to remember the Lakers.
It's been a couple late nights of basketball.
So that's two nights ago. And then, you know, this on the heels, right, of Giannis having the calf strain actually 9 days ago, in their game against the Celtics, the Bucks game against the Celtics. Giannis has already been ruled out for at least game one of the Bucks 3-6 series with the Indiana Pacers. One of three NBA postseason series now, playoff series, where the team that is favored in game one is not the actual series favorite. So the Pacers are favored in game one of that series by 1.5 points at Milwaukee, whereas Milwaukee is still a tick of a favorite in the series because we don't know how long Giannis is going to be out for. And then last night in the 7-8 game between the Sixers and the Miami Heat at Philly, Jimmy Butler's doing Jimmy Butler things, playoff Jimmy Butler, just stealing the ball, easy breakaway dunks, but Kelly Oubre and him sort of tangle up. No fault of Oubre, it's just one of these basketball plays that happens. And as we learn later, Butler gets an MCL injury. He's writhing on the court in pain. He decides to play through it. Plays the rest of the game. Looked really affected in the second half, though. Bottom line, the Sixers come back to win that game 105-104. A little bit of drama at the end, but not really. Sixers win at 105-104 in a game where Joel Embiid, who, remember, missed 8 weeks of the regular season with a left knee meniscus issue. I don't know if he tweaked it the second to last day of the regular season. Whatever happened, he had to miss, or they decided for precautionary measures that they were going to take him out of the last regular season game. So he sat there, and he shows up yesterday, and he's messing with his knee first in the pregame warm-ups. You're like, is that, you know, gamesmanship? What is that? Or is really something going on? And then, as you pointed out, Kelly, he also just looked tired playing in that game.
It was bizarre. I thought it was bizarre. I know Friday he left the game. He tweaked it, Sunday I thought it was really more precautionary because he had played, you know, 30-ish minutes or less since he returned, which you would expect. You're ramping a guy up, but he had been extremely effective in those games, and it was. I mean, you're talking 6 minutes, 7 minutes into that game last night. You're like, why does Joel Embiid look so tired? Like, he looks gassed. And then I don't know if you heard it, but Doris Burke even mentioned it on the broadcast that he got gassed with warm-ups.
Yeah.
He was out there in warm-ups for like 7 minutes and got gassed.
Embiid looks gashed.
I'm
like, what?
It was bizarre.
But here's the thing. He ended up 23-15-5, and he hit a huge three down the stretch. And he had a big rebound and a putback. I mean, he made huge plays in the end. In the end, now, the Sixers end up with the 7 seed. They will take on the New York Knicks. Again, another one of these series where the Sixers are 2.5-point dogs in game one, but are a tick of a series favorite. We thought -140. That was my guess. You said -130, I think.
Yep.
Me, you, and JVT. It ends up being shorter than that, -115 on the series price, maybe because of the question around Embiid that is worth those 15 cents, and I think that's true. I guess the point I'm getting to is, so we have a Kings-Pelicans elimination game coming up without Zion.
Yep.
We got a Bulls Heat game without Butler. Butler's going to be out weeks if the Heat continue. We already have the Giannis issue. Remember when I put out that fictional prop where I was like, Celtics 5.5 losses, Eastern Conference playoffs.
The over now.
And now And now it was Giannis. This was before Giannis's injury, before Butler's injury, and before Embiid has shown this strange, you know, sort of wobbly,
yeah,
literally, nature of being in these games. That 5.5 is what now? 4.5?
Oh, less. Probably less than that.
Well, I don't think you can make the line too much less. But it's definitely not 5.5 anymore.
Definitely not 5. I'd go 3.5 probably. That's probably where I'd go. Like, I mean, they could be cruising to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is, the Heat, it's a real shame. I mean, they were, for as much as I've gotten on this team over the past couple years, there are, I mean, add the Sixers to the list of, Celtics, Bucks, the Heat are living rent-free in their heads. I mean, as soon as that game tipped last night, and I can say whatever I want about Joel Embiid, he was definitely ineffective. Yeah. That was definitely part of the problem. But the Sixers just saw this zone like a week ago from Miami. They're prepping for this. And still, they come out there, and the Heat go into full zone mode, and the Sixers look like they've never seen it before
that
in their lives.
That zone was pretty cool. Someone described it as a blob yesterday. Yep. It was very interesting to watch that zone.
It really was.
Bottom line, Sixers -115 against the Knicks in the series. Do you like a Sixers bet?
No. I'm at Sixers futures. How can you do it right now? Yeah. I bet the Knicks in game one. As soon as game one price got released, I laid 2.5 with the New York Knicks. If Joel Embiid is going to look anything like he did last night, the Sixers are in major trouble. I don't feel like a lot of people are not making enough of this. I mean, he was very ineffective on offense outside of free throw shooting and the couple threes that he made. And defense, he couldn't close out. They kept him on the perimeter, and he kept allowing open, wide open threes.
We'll get Zach Cohen's thoughts on the elimination games tomorrow night, where injuries abound. Maybe some tennis. NBA with Zach Cohen next, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, sir, we
made all kind of things about the play-in tournament, playoffs, and much more.
All right. Started out that sentence without hearing you, but we got there in the end. All right. Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Bills, late nights become your early mornings each and every morning with the VSiN newsletter. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Bobby Geddes, I brought this up to multiple people now. What would the trade have to be from the Celtics to get Wemby? This followed a tweet of his where he said, would the Spurs take the entire Celtics starting lineup for Wembanyama at this point? To which I said, probably not. Given his age, given the future.
I'm going to take the easy way out here and say the finances don't work, so you can't even entertain that conversation.
Terrible answer. Square Bob. I never bet total.
I'll add on to that, though. I almost texted you this at during the third quarter, but probably the third quarter of the Hawks-Bulls game, I'm like, can we just get Trae Young to the Spurs already? Like, accept your role as Scottie Pippen to Victor Wembanyama and roll your little pick-and-roll floater lob game with Wemby, and let's just get this done already.
By the way, we didn't even mention that game, or I didn't mention in the first segment, the Bulls are playing the Heat. If you're wondering, who's the Heat's opponent? The Bulls, because they won against the Hawks last night. The Bulls and the Hawks, you're watching that game last night, you're like, okay, neither of these teams deserves to be in the playoffs.
It's gross.
Like, what are we doing?
It's gross.
Someone play defense? Anybody? No? No one? Okay, great. Square Bob, I never bet totals, but Drew Dinsick screamed the Bulls over last night. Thank you. And in case you didn't hear, Drew, we need you to hold Gil captive for a sushi reveal next time he wants you for more than one segment. I'm buying.
Yeah, that was his favorite bet of these first games, but playing games and first round games. So, yeah, he was all over that one.
You could in-game over that all night last night. Mickey Baca, NBA is setting up perfectly for a Nuggets-Mavericks West Finals and a Sixers-Celtics East Finals. Let's get one of these four home. Brian Schaefer, sorry for the grammar yesterday. Phillies three straight ties with the Guardians. Now they have a date with the White Sox for three. They will be there for the final week for most wins March and April. I don't know what he meant by the ties part. D-back 48, did they ask all the quarterbacks?
He's going to have to send a second apology tweet now.
Yeah. Let's go. A third time's going to be the charm, Brian. We'll get this. We'll update those Guardians, Yankees standings. Yankees, Orioles, Braves are now. It's Yankees, Braves, Guardians in that order right now. D-back 48, Did they ask? Did the Skins ask all the quarterbacks which mother they would sleep with out of the group? That's a Zach Wilson tribute, I believe that is.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Las Vegas 514, yo, what are we doing? Just pick Jaden Daniels already. It's not rocket science, or is it? Sheesh. That's a Redskins fan. And then Nemesis Enforcer, the Doris Burke was spot on. I meant the Commodore.
Well, that's pretty good.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a he's one of the, I should say Wes Reynolds and he, but there's several guys, Adam Burke being that. But Zach Cohen is also part of the glue that holds this entire operation together here at VSiN. He is kind enough to join us now. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. VSiN writer and editor and just a guy who writes with volume, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing well. What tennis bets are you sweating today?
I have two left today. I didn't know if they were going to play, but I have one in Munich. I have Bodek van de Zandschulp and Jan-Lennard Struff to go over 21.5 games, which is, you know, tough to say both names. I don't know how I got through it, but I think it's going to be a pretty close match. I'll just call him Bodek. He's a solid clay court player. He came off a really big win last round. Just a little bit better from the baseline than Struff is, but Struff has a really good serve. I don't see him losing this match without at least making a pretty big dent in the scoreboard. And his baseline game has been holding up pretty well over the last few weeks, has played some really good clay court matches against really good clay court players. So I think it's under over 21.5 is a pretty reasonable bet. It's a low number. And the second one I have is Marta Kostyuk, +4.5 games. Then I also sprinkled the money line at +210 against Qinwen Zhang, which is just a match where, you know, Zhang went to the final of the Australian Open, hasn't really looked the same since. And Kostyuk has been incredible in 2024. She's 16-6. Her break percentage is up over 40%. So if Zhang is not making her first serve, she's going to make her pay for it. And it's just a match where both players hit with so much power. It's going to be really fun to watch. Just, you know, a lot of haymakers in this match. But I do think Kostyuk keeps it close. And I do think that she potentially wins it because I think she's a better mover than Zhang and just a little bit more of a creative player from the baseline.
And Marta Kostyuk against Zhang Xinwen, Kelly, just a really a match that you should probably watch. Is all I will say.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Just a real.
Where are we at?
Zach described
Stuttgart for that one?
Stuttgart.
Yeah,
Zach described it as a fun match to watch, and I would say it is fun to watch. Okay, NBA. Tomorrow night, we have elimination games. Sacramento, 1.5-point favorites against the Pelicans. That number, of course, informed by Zion's absence for the Pels. Then the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat, only 1.5-point favorites at home against the Bulls. That number largely informed by Jimmy Butler's absence. Butler, again, reportedly will be out weeks if the Heat are to advance here into the first round of the playoffs. Do you have a play on either of these games tomorrow?
I do have the Kings in that game against the Pelicans. I just think I don't want to pick against Kelly's Pelicans, but I do think it's going to be hard for New Orleans to, you know, find the offense that they need to win that game with Zion out. Willie Green no longer seems to trust Brandon Ingram. He's not playing big minutes, not playing the end of games. So I do think the only way that the Pelicans can really overcome that is if they just kind of get a lot of threes up. They play Trey Murphy, you know, 35 to 40 minutes, but they just haven't done it all season. So I don't trust them to play the rotation they need to just kind of keep up with a Kings team that we know could be explosive offensively. I think Sabonis is going to be a problem for Valanciunas in this game. I think that, you know, Valanciunas is another player that Green has been benching a lot. He doesn't want to play, you know, a slow-footed center. But whoever they put out there, if it's Valanciunas, Sabonis is a little too quick for him. And whoever else they put in, you know, Sabonis is a little too big. So I just think this is a really good matchup for the Kings. And I think the Kings Thunder could be pretty fun. And then in the other game, it's a tough one. I think I'm kind of leaning with the Heat right now. I know that Butler's out, but I think that Alex Caruso is also in danger of missing this game. I think that they said he has a significantly sprained ankle.
Jeez.
And if he does miss
another
it.
Another one. Yeah.
That's just, you know, you just talked about it. Like, neither of those teams are playing defense the other night. Well, Caruso's the only one that does play defense.
That's right.
On the Bulls, especially on the perimeter. So I think that I would trust Spo to come up with something that works.
Yeah, I'll tell you, even if it's playoff basketball and I'm running back on defense, Gil, I'm watching where Andre Drummond's running to because that's what happened last night where Drummond just went full speed into Caruso. And you're like, oh, my, that's like getting hit by a Mack truck coming down the lane. It was bad.
Well, it was the Bulls were up 18 in a blink. They were only up 6, and then before you knew it, they were back up more than 20 after that. Okay, Do you, by the way, do you ever play in either of the elimination games?
No, I would probably lean both ways that Zach just said, but man, the injuries make this gross.
It makes it gross. That's exactly right. All right, of the six first round series that have been established, half of them feature a team again that is favored in game one. Excuse me, that is a dog in game one, but actually a series favorite. So we're talking about Sixers Knicks, where the Sixers are a game one dog, but actually a tick of a favorite in the series. That also relates to the Suns and the Timberwolves, where the Suns are a dog in game one of the series, but actually a slight favorite in the series. And then in the case of the Pacers and the Bucks, again, largely informed by the Giannis injury, because we know he's out game one. Pacers are a slight 1.5-point favorite game one, but the Bucks a tick of a favorite in the series. So that's half of your established series already have that strange, anomalous thing happening already. Do you have a plan, any of those series-wise, or games one, if you will, or any of the other three series?
I have plays in most of the series. I don't have anything in game one yet. I'm still writing up series previews. I'm not done yet until we get the Kings-Pelicans results. So I'm still looking at the series mostly. I do have the Sixers to beat the Knicks. I'm not adding too much to it because I added the Sixers at 20-1. I wrote it up in our NBA playoffs primer that we put out on DraftKings.com. But I did pick the Sixers at 20-1 to win the Eastern Conference. Was hoping that they'd make it through that game last night. It was really ugly. But I do think it's a really tough matchup for the Knicks. It's nothing against the Knicks. They're missing a guy that makes $30 million a year. You know, their second best offensive player in Julius Randle. And I do think that you're going to be missing him in a series against the Sixers, where I think the Tyrese Maxey can kind of keep up with Jalen Brunson over the course of seven games. And I don't think that the Knicks have someone that can keep up with Embiid. I think that Tobias Harris, arguably the third, you know, the best number three in this series. So I think it could be ugly. I mean, it's going to be, you know, a series where all of the games are probably going to be close. But I do think Philadelphia is the better team as long as Embiid makes it through it. Although he looked horrible last night. I thought that he looked slow. He looked like he was in pain. And I just didn't think he should be out there. But he got through it. So, you know, maybe a few days of rest will help him.
Anything else in the first round?
I have the Nuggets -1.5 against the Lakers. It's about -140, so you have to lay a little bit of juice to take it. But I don't know. Like, I know the Lakers are a little bit better than they were last year, but they still got swept by the Nuggets this year. I still don't think that they have an answer for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in that two-man game. And I like that, you know, the Nuggets have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to throw on D'Angelo Russell, who has been scorching hot for the Lakers lately. But Russell's not a guy that could really shake free from a really good defender like Caldwell-Pope. He needs to have open space. So I do think the Lakers are going to be in a little bit of trouble offensively in the series.
All right, I'm taking a survey. Celtics total number of losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The new line is 4.5. Over or under?
I'll go over because I do think that they can run into a little bit of trouble in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, the number is 5.5. Over or under?
Under.
We're price discovering is what we're doing. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Joe Sheehan on MLB next. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out. Do not on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D. Always a pleasure to have this gentleman on the show. Writes for the Action Network. You know him on Twitter as Vegas Refund. We know him as Luke Swain. And he joins us now to talk NFL draft courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, man?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We were joking about this off air. As poor form as this to start the interview, I'm going to start by not asking you about your opinion, but that yesterday you were on a conference call with Daniel Jeremiah. First of all, who gets invited to this kind? How many people are allowed on this conference call?
Yeah, so like every year he's done it where it's a 2-hour long, basically Q&A that he's going to be doing. He does with, I guess, the media, where really, it's tough to listen to. And there was a link for the live video that I guess anyone could listen into, which it was kind of buried and hard to find. But I found it, got in, listened to the entire thing. Some of the questions were tough. I mean, some of the reporters were asking questions like evaluations on Canadian players in the draft. It's like next question. But there were definitely some some good nuggets taken away from the 2 hour long conference call. They didn't. Right now, we're kind of scraping for anything worthy in terms of like betting off of. And this is definitely the best thing we got.
All right. Well, but before we get to your thoughts, give us his good nuggets. What did you learn?
Yeah. So a couple nuggets that I think are all bettable off of were the first one was Byron Murphy being a top 10 surprise pick that you wouldn't be shocked to happen, which his top 10 odds right now, I think, are 7-1, maybe higher depending on the vote. There might be like a 10-1 out there. And then he also, I think one of the most notable things he brought up is he spoke to like the consensus wide receivers in like the 20s, which maybe they're Adonde Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. And he kind of got into thinking that what the consensus is to the media or public on what receivers are going to go late in the first, he thinks might slide out of the first, and guys that we have projected in the second might sneak in, which could create first round bet values as well. And the common narrative we've heard a lot is that the receivers are going to go later than we think due to just the depth of that position in this draft and the scarcity of guys like offensive linemen. Then the last one, and this one was honestly a shocker, but DJ puts out his top 50, and outside of his top 50, like you really don't know his rankings. And he dropped a nugget on Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona to be his second-ranked tight end, which I immediately looked up second tight end to be drafted. And at the time, he was 100-1. He's not that anymore. It's still juicy, but he admitted that he was probably higher on him than teams. But again, like Jeremiah is probably the closest thing we have to what teams are thinking in terms of like the mainstream media. And him saying that when we really wouldn't have a view on his like positional rankings was very notable. He had Bowers going to the Jets. He thinks it would be Fuaga Fatano in that order if Bowers isn't there. He had Chop Robinson, a riser, could be the second edge off the board. And that's pretty much it. But there's a transcript online if you're a big control fine guy. It's like, I think, 40 pages long.
Wow.
Worth going through.
I guess he does it because rather than answering everybody's individual interview requests, now he's just like he sits on his throne and he takes all comers and they can get it all in once. Good for him. Okay, so Tanner McLaughlin, second tight end. Another prop we don't have in Nevada, Kelly, anywhere.
Yeah, I was like, second tight end.
I was going to say second tight end. What kind of sci-fi props are you talking about? All right, Luke, let's get to your thoughts. Let me begin with the Denver Broncos at number 12. There was so much talk about them falling in love with Bo Nix. What do you think?
Yeah, so I think one of the better value opportunities out there right now is going to be the Broncos' positional odds. So Broncos to draft a tight end first, wide receiver first, whatever it is. And right now, if you look at those odds, quarterback is heavily favored. I think it was about minus 110, maybe higher a week ago. I think it's even odds now. But if you're of the opinion, like myself, that Bo Nix isn't going to be drafted by the Broncos at number 12, then these odds have value. I think offensive line, which could be is 9-1, 10-1, depending on the book, or corner, which is 5-6-1, are great bets. And I mean, defensive line, I wouldn't be against that either, which is 3-1 currently. And if you just remove quarterback from the equation in terms of these odds, and it wasn't as heavily favored, probably all three of these positions odds would be cut in half. O-line would probably be like 4-1 instead of the 10-1s. So I'm of the opinion they're not going to take a quarterback at 12, assuming they draft there. And that the other positions have a ton of value currently.
All right, we just talked about Tyler McLaughlin and going second in terms of tight ends. Who would be your second offensive lineman going in this draft?
Right now, I think in terms of I think Fatano has the best value, which would be the Jets at 10, assuming they don't take Bowers if they don't. But right now, I think the most opportunity is with the offensive lineman because it is so elite that every person you ask is probably going to have a different order. The second lineman, I would probably say Fatano or Latham have the best value. But if I was making a mock draft, it would probably be Fuaga.
By the way, I said Tyler McLaughlin. Of course, I meant Tanner McLaughlin. Okay, what about, do you have any specific
thoughts on draft positions late in the first round?
So with there are like Circa's one book that has all the way up to, I think it's like 130. But right now, like I think like my best advice to that is there is a lot of value. They're hand moving each one. I would definitely default to big boards over mock drafts if you're trying to bet an over under outside of the first round. But I think the receivers are going to fall like off of Jeremiah. So whether that's Xavier Worthy, they think Adonde Mitchell is a little bit overvalued right now at 27.5. I wouldn't bet the under, even though guys like Schefter, who to me is too mainstream to really value and bet off of his opinion. But I think the overs on the late receivers are probably the way to go currently.
Okay. And also in that same vein, we talked obviously about the Jeremiah intel that Byron Murphy could be a surprise top 10 pick. His position is slotted at 18.5, so I assume you would go under there.
Yeah, so that was actually my first bet I made of this draft season was Murphy under 18.5. Now it's at 16.5. I still would only bet the under. A lot of mock drafts have him going to the Bengals or the Rams, which is 18 and 19. And Jeremiah said it a couple weeks ago. Ruggler came out today on a podcast saying his range is 8 to 18, which is in that sweet spot of the over/under. And also, ironically, starts with the Falcons, which is kind of the same vein of what Jeremiah said yesterday with the Falcons being that surprise team to take Murphy. But yeah, I don't see him. He's the guy that it seems like every guy we trust is touting that he's going to go way earlier than what the media thinks.
Jared Verse of FSU, who, unbeknownst to him, played exhibition football all year last year. We were watching, Kelly and I saw an ESPN graphic about who Atlanta was going to pick at 8. Everyone had Dallas Turner, with the exception of one person who had Jared Verse. He's at 14.5. Which way are you betting on Verse?
So I would like the over on the Verse prop where, to me, there are rumors that he's going to go in the top 10 to maybe the Bears. But for me, if he doesn't go to the Bears at 9, then he's going to fly over and not go and probably go in the range of like 16, 17, 18, maybe later. But Verse, it's like, do you want to pair Jared Verse to go top 10 or to go number 9 with the over? I think that's a good hedge that I'm not doing, but it could be fun. But I think Verse is a over or bust, and the only way it would go under is just better playing like exact odds.
All right.
Top 10 for him.
All right, Luke, we got 60 seconds. Let's do these rapid fire. Graham Barton is at 23.5. Over or under?
Under, definitely.
JC Latham, 14.5. Over or under?
I would say under. I would not lay juice with him, though, heavy.
If you can get plus money under, you'd lay it that way. Okay. Yeah. Quinyon Mitchell.
I think that's still an over. I think Terrion Arnold has a lot of steam. If you asked me the same question a week or two ago, I would definitely say under. But with the Arnold hype, I think Mitchell is definitely an overplay at this point.
And he's set at 13.5, I should say. And lastly, Tyler Guyton at 29.5.
That is a under. I think it should be 24.5.
Luke, I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Vegas refund. Again, by the way, given the street cred that we gave him earlier, nothing but positive money gain in all NFL drafts and NBA drafts, with the exception, like so many of us, of last year's NFL draft. Let's get back at it. Thank you so much, Luke. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Luke Swain at Vegas Refund from The Athletic. Appreciate that. Interesting Daniel Jeremiah intel as well. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. By the way, what are we seeing on rushing to see what's available here in Nevada?
Well, yeah, it was Byron Murphy top 10 plus 650 at DraftKings. The only book that has I think the only book. I could be wrong. I think it is. Maybe the only book here in Nevada listing top 10 props has him at plus 350.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that one, and then we were laughing about the McLaughlin second tight end to be drafted, but that is the only tight end prop actually that's up at DraftKings right now, because number one's just assumed to be Brock Bowers. So he is 20-1 there, where he had mentioned he was 100-1 yesterday?
But it's so funny, because when he said that, you and I didn't lock eyes on this.
We thought the same thing, though.
Here in Nevada, him saying second tight end drafted, he might as well have said the fourth place kicker drafted, or like, you know, like something, something ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. That might actually be easy. But like the seventh, you know.
Yes, no, on will a other college athlete other than a football player be drafted in the college?
Right.
Yeah, it might as well have been the same thing.
It will be the third holder drafted. We get tweets that beat the book. I always appreciate the feedback from everybody, really. Best listeners in the game.
Luke is awesome.
He's awesome.
He is. However you can consume his information in this time 100%. Of year is well worth your time if you are betting on the drafts.
And he really acted as a reporter for us on the Jeremiah conference call, because that, I mean, that's awesome. And by the way, he wanted to talk about it, just in case you're like, oh, that was bad form, asking him for the opinion of someone else.
Yeah, no,
he wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, he prefaced it with saying he thought there was a lot of betting nuggets in there worth it for us.
We get tweets. Corbin, sorry, Gil, to be the bearer of bad news, but I believe that your Guardians win total is now officially jinxed. If it does lose, you can solely blame it on, what is this? Is this a, there's a Twitter, there's an Instagram page that mistakenly posted a Guardians GIF that had them with the best record in baseball at 12-5. Well, they were yesterday. Not anymore. Cowboys_Cubs1. I'm guessing Bill Crackman is in Toasty's gallery, just like VJ. He sees Crack in all black with a Kangol, and he's thinking the mob is following him. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
The VJ Singh story? VJ Singh, like, looking at Crack, like, what the heck?
Oh, man. I miss VJ stories, period. Remember, like, the whole, like, six-month period where deer antler spray was a thing?
Oh,
remember,
Alabama
football got tied up in it? And then, like, somehow VJ Singh was, like, the only golfer that was like, yeah, I use deer antler spray. What's the problem with it?
Bruce Dobigan, Bo Nix the Elder, he says.
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan Pagel, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Tanner McLaughlin down to 18-1. Good job, audience.
There you go. McLaughlin is 18-1 now?
I just have it pulled up in front of me.
Tanner McLaughlin, tight end, Arizona, now down to 18-1. Didn't we do that? Jordan Pagel, I can't believe you guys haven't discussed this. Oh, he's so right, because every morning I've meant to discuss this. You know, Caesar's revolutionary strategy to put up draft props and have you guess the player you're betting on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So... Yeah. Caesars has pages of draft props. The only problem is that about four of them.
It's specifically with draft position.
So there's,
draft position, you will get a number.
It's over 16.5, minus 195, under 16.5, plus 155. There's only one problem. There's no player.
How have we not talked about
the next one? Over 26.5, minus 330, under 26.5, plus 250. Oh, man, I got to bet this. Except I don't know who they're talking about. There's pages of this. Thank you, Jordan.
I wish I could say that's the only sport and market I've encountered that problem with there. If you wanted to look at the exactas for the NBA championship, same thing.
Yeah.
Same. I think you get one team. It's like Boston Celtics, 30-1, and you're like, well, who are they beating?
It's like when somebody is like, oh, Caesars has tons of draft props, except no one knows what they are.
I don't know if you've had the same reaction as I have when I've pulled those up, and I'm like, well, I'm moving on to the next book because I'm not spending. Like, you actually could. You could hit over, go to your bet slip, and then I think it shows it there. But I'm not going through every single one of those.
Oh, it does if you put it in a bet slip?
I believe so, yes.
It magically appears in the bet slip?
Yeah, the name will appear in the bet slip.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
But, like, I'm not going through every single one.
Eric Biggio, you should know about this. Chance Copperpot. You speak of age being a factor for the quarterbacks in this draft. I feel like you guys are forgetting about the illustrious career of one Chris Wanky, pride of Creighton-Durham High School and FSU.
Chris Wanky was great.
26 years old playing at FSU when he won the Heisman. He won the Heisman, Kelly.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, New York Morty, good one. Just a heads up for next weekend. MLB's playing in Mexico City, April 27, 28. Last year, remember, they kept the books didn't really acknowledge the fact that they were in Mexico City with the high elevation.
Really?
And so the totals remained at 8.5. Let's keep our eyes out for that. Elevation, Kelly. Remember, elevation is above sea level, ladies and gentlemen. Altitude is how far up I am from the ground right now.
Oh, man.
Just want to point that out.
That was one of my favorite moments on primetime action.
Reopened. Oh, me and Matt were getting into it.
That was the most I've ever witnessed on air or off air. Matt Brown and Gil Alexander argue about something was altitude versus elevation, the definition of each. But,
and what we determined is they're used so interchangeably now that no one cares and both are accepted.
Pretty much.
Right? Okay. By the way, that 8.5 last year reopened to 15.5 a few hours later, New York Morty points out. So something to keep an eye on. He's absolutely right. And then Keen Cranepool, earthquakes
in the baseball total?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
In Mexico City next week. Earthquakes in the Northeast, NBA players making $5 parlays, pineapple on pizza, and now Crackman appearing on sans his trademark Kangol instead with a Masters baseball cap. I don't know if I can go on, he says basically. Hey, Raj Bhatti, nice to be back. He goes, beautiful dynasty. I was talking about the Warriors. Talking about my Warriors commentary from yesterday. He goes, a beautiful dynasty that also changed the way NBA basketball is played now. Thanks for this, Gil. Yeah, thank you for everybody who wrote in about the Warriors tribute. Pouring out of 40. DRS, Gangstaline, for those who are in the know. Can I mention one thing about this Jontay Porter thing?
Of course.
So the NBA has banned Jontay Porter. When this first came out, this story, we talked about it juxtaposed against the Shohei story. And my whole thing was that day I was like, oh, Jontay, he's completely guilty. Like the elements are in place for this to be completely guilty. And then with Shohei, I was like, hey, y'all might be right that he's doing it, but actually he could be telling the truth, right? That was the very first day what we said on this. So the NBA has, as you probably didn't miss it, you probably heard that they have banned Jontay Porter. I just want to say one thing about this reaction, which is, and I think it needs to be said, because a lot of people are saying, well, this is exactly, you know, a lot of people think they have a very evolved take when they say this is exactly what regulated sports betting markets are there for. This is precisely why they, you know, got him, you know, eliminating the fact that they took $80,000 on this prop bet. And I just want to add in that it does conveniently leave out one element, which is you're giving regulated sports markets credit for the policing of this. But on the other hand, it's the regulated sports market that are creating the vehicles that make this kind of thing even possible, right? The construct of same-game parlays or props on marginal players creates an environment where this kind of thing can happen. So again, when the people talk about, oh, regulated versus unregulated, it's actually, in this case, it's actually not a complete argument. I just want to point that out, that same-game parlays don't exist in unregulated markets at all, where you can manipulate something, right? And props on lesser players, I don't want to say they don't exist at all, but they certainly don't exist nearly to the extent. I haven't checked recently to see if you would. My instinct is that those don't exist very often either in terms of the pillars. I don't know about the lesser offshore shop. So I don't talk about the pillars. So I just want to say that has to be added to that conversation where it's like, hey, yeah, like this is going to happen if a player who's making, relatively speaking, very little money, Jontay Porter making low, you know, middle-ish six figures as opposed to eight or nine figure contracts, right? That a guy like that is there going to be guys like that that can't resist the temptation of either, you know, by themselves or through a gambler that they're feeding information to, trying to exploit those kinds of things. So just when you hear people making that argument, I just want to point out that it's a broader conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that the way you just put it, too, goes back to the way we talked with our initial reaction to the discussion about banning props on college players, right? It's only,
yes,
you're only talking about a marginal step up when you're talking about a guy like Jontay Porter,
yeah,
right? You are... I think you put it really well that day, unlike I'm doing right now. just take the temptation away from the college kids, right? And it gets tricky when I think you make that jump from college to pro, and where do you draw the line?
And that's already banned in many states.
Yeah.
We don't have props on college sports.
On some of this stuff, it's a great conversation because where do you draw the line is something that we've got to figure out with all of this.
You're staying away from the two games tonight? Nothing in the play-ins? Actually, tomorrow night, the elimination game?
Nothing. My brain is so
fried
from late NBA.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, what day is it?
Me too. As you can tell, Rosette, yeah. So the elimination game's tomorrow night. And again, injuries abound. That's how we started this show. That's how we will end this show. The Celtics' mythical prop of how many losses in the Eastern Conference falls to 4.5 now, I think.
We've done all we can do. Go join Golic or next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.